Blog Talk Radio.
Darling, when you're next to me, I melt. I feel so weak. It's getting
I've got. Please don't leave me now.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk, the segment Bringing Sexy Back. And this is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And I'm going to be a little so bad because I don't know if that was the Jones Girls or the Emotions, but I do know the title of the song is called You Can't Keep Turning Me Off. But if someone knows exactly who that group was, call in and let me know because I totally forgot. All right, how's everybody's day been today? It's been nice weather here these past few days. I guess the summer or the spring is finally, no, the summer won't be here till June the 21st, but I guess spring has really sprung. You know, they're talking about thunderstorms and all this and that, but that's better than the snow, okay? We're going to have a good evening this evening. We have a very special guest here. In the meantime, I'm going to bring in my co-host. Good evening, Jay. Good evening, Jadino. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. How was y'all's week so far? How was your Mother's Day, Jade?
It was great. How was yours?
Oh, girl, it was so beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful Mother's Days that I've had since my mom passed in a long time. It was just beautiful.
That's good.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Was that song by High Energy? Oh, you know what? It could have been. Yes, I think it was High Energy. Girl, I was just, you know, because I always, you know, at the end of the my intros and everything, I always know the titles and the names of the song. But for some reason, it just skipped my mind completely. It was High Energy. It certainly was. Thank you, darling.
Thank you
very much. And Jadino,
how you doing? My bad. I know she was getting there.
Hello?
I was trying to get there, too, before I forgot what I was going to say about who it was.
All righty then. Well, Gino, how was Mother's Day for your wife yesterday? I mean, Sunday.
Yeah, well, it was great. I do my little stunt for a year, and my kids still call me up and tell me Happy Mother's Day because I have raised all my kids. So I do Happy Mother Father's Day.
Oh, okay. Well, your day is coming up.
They call me on Mother's Day, but they may be like, oh, I forgot Father's Day was yesterday. And I just say, both of them are mothers. But yeah, a lot of people, we used to always talk about that, and they was like, they would give me a Mother's Day call and a Father's Day call. But now, uh-huh. Murray, I guess they don't count no more. They're like, no, we got another mother name. So,
You know what? That is good because my oldest son used to do that to me with the Father's Day cards.
Yeah, so that
is good.
But guess what, Mother's Day is 365 days of the year, but it's good that they look out for us that one day, you know, give us honor. But, you know, we're mothers 365 days a year. And did you guys by any chance see the on the news where the little boy was being attacked by a dog and a cat saved him?
Oh, I ain't seen
no.
that.
No.
Well, check it out.
I got to Google that one.
Where the video is on the... Right, the video is on my Facebook page, but I'm just saying, this dog, and he, when they showed it, because it came on the news, he was walking down the street, looked like he was looking for something to get into, and this little boy was on his bike. The dog ran around there and pulled the boy, grabbed him by his leg, was dragging him. This cat came out of nowhere like a pit bull, and that dog hit the streets, you hear me? So I don't know about dogs being man's best friend no more, because if they run away from a cat, hello.
But you know what? And that goes to show you because they always tell you different things. It don't matter that it might be a small person or whatever, but they might be have a fight in them.
Oh yeah,
yep.
Cats and dogs too.
Yep, because cats don't play. Yep. So anyway,
I said, you found it. Yeah, I was just looking at it.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a very special guest this evening. It's Karen L. Beach. She's an author, coach, radio host. She also has been a screenwriter with a short film under her belt, and I understand that Danny Glover starred in it. Yeah. She was a game show contestant, an avid blogger and movie reviewer. Her life is a testament to her philosophy to live a life with no regrets. To that end, her business is called Lose the Excuses, because it's the excuses that stop us from taking the chances and putting the efforts into living life on our own terms. Her writing is electric as her background. Her first Amazon Kindle offering was a workbook on getting organized and eliminating clutter. Get it together, girl. A natural organizer, it contains tips she used to get and stay organized. There are currently 3 books in the Get It Together series. The first, A 28-Day Guide to Practical Not Perfect Home Organization. It's About Time is the second one, Finding It, Saving It, Making the Most of It. Getting to Goal is the third, Your Dreams, Your Desires, Your Way. The fourth is a series of Stretching Your Dollar and Cost-Cutting Techniques will be released in December 2013. So obviously that book is out. The Get It Together Girl philosophy has made its way off of the page and into the airwaves. Get It Together Girl Radio airs live on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you can't listen live, catch the archives of the show. With that being said, we're going to bring in our very special guest this evening, Karen Beach. Good evening, Karen.
Hello. How are you, Gail?
I am fantastic, here with my two co-hosts.
Hi, Karen.
Hey,
hello,
how are you doing?
And Jadina.
I was listening to everything you were saying at first, so I have 3 little things to say about everything you were saying. I knew about the high energy, but my favorite Jones Girl song is "You're Gonna Make Me Love Somebody Else If You Keep On Treating Me
Right."
Like You. So that's been in through my head since you said Joan Girls. Number 2, my best friend, my dog Jake, is right here, and I'm in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's really hot, and my air condition is not working.
My windows
are open, and he might hear a dog behind us, and he'll go barking. So I'll try to keep that as a minimum, but if you hear a barking, it's Jake. Not Jake from State Farm, but Jake the dog.
Jake the dog might have something to say on this show too, so
he could. You might hear him.
Wow. Well, we're very interested to getting to know you a little better. Let's start off with your background a little bit. Are you the only child? Do you have any brothers and sisters? And how did you get on the road to becoming a motivational person, being a game show contestant, different things like that. So we'll get into all that. Right now, let's give us a little background of where Karen started.
I'm Karen Beach from Beechwood, Ohio, and little town outside of Cleveland. And I grew up an only child. My mother passed from complications to diabetes when I was 15. My parents, my mom was a teacher, my dad was a principal. So what helped me with my trivia and getting on a game show is because my parents always encouraged me, to learn, and they helped my curiosity and all of that. And so it was my mom passing when I was 15 that kind of was the pivotal force in kind of shaping my direction, because at that point I learned something that a lot of people don't learn until very late in life, and that is that tomorrow isn't guaranteed. So you have to live your life right now. I mean, if my mom probably got sick the last 2 years of her life, but if you had asked her when I was 11 or 12, are you going to be there when your daughter graduates from high school or for college or, when she gets her first job, she would have said yes. You know, she had no idea what was coming, and none of us do. We all think we have the luxury of tomorrow, but at some point that's not going to be there, and we don't know when that point is going to come.
True.
So... but now my father got remarried, so I have 3 stepbrothers and a half-sister. So she was born when I was in my early 20s. So I jokingly told my dad, you just had your own grandchild, but who knew at the time it would be true? So, so I still don't have kids.
Oh, wow. So it's just you and Jake, huh?
Just me and Jake, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting. Well, I'm not married myself, but I have kids. My children are grown. I have 4 grandchildren and a great-grandson, so
wow.
I'm alone, too, you know. Well, not to the point that
I'm missing
out on anything, but it's just my choice. But
Jake.
Yeah,
see,
I'm not
there
married.
He goes right there.
He's probably jealous that you're on the phone, you know.
Yeah, they can sense that. Dog can sense it. Cause mine, you know how mine's being, Mr. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, now you said you were born in Cleveland.
Yes.
And where are you at now?
I'm in beautiful, hot Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, how long have you been in South Carolina, I'm sorry.
North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry, North Carolina, I'm sorry.
I might have said South, I'm just really hot, so I'm just delirious.
Oh, Charlotte, I have family in Charlotte, that's how I knew it was North Carolina.
So how long have you been in?
I've been here, I don't know, about 7 years.
What made you leave?
But I am
Cleveland.
In South Charlotte, so I'm like 10 minutes from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. So what made you leave Cleveland?
Oh, gosh. How long is this show? No.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I've moved around like I owe people money. So my degree is in broadcast journalism. So I spent a year in Iowa working for a national public radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to Arizona for almost a year just because I was tired of being cold.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really want to be that hot, so I didn't stay there.
Right.
I told my Aunt Bessie is, you know, really into the church, and I told her living in Phoenix makes you want to repent because you get an idea of how hot hell must be.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend living in Phoenix. Yes, she says it's pretty hot.
Oh, yeah. In the summer, it's no joke. In the winter, it's wonderful. But in the summer, it's no joke. So when I left there, I lived in Maryland for about 10 years.
Oh,
and
okay.
After I left Maryland, that's when I started screenwriting. So I told myself I would give myself 2 years in California, and I did that. And then I knew I didn't want to stay out there where a two-bedroom bungalow was, like, selling for $475,000. You know, and that was right on the outside of the hood. So I decided I wanted to move back east because my dad is still in Ohio. I have family in Georgia and Maryland. And so I knew I didn't want to go to Atlanta. But I heard a lot of good things about Charlotte, and I came down here and fell in love with it. So I've been here about 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. That's, you know, to move around like that, that takes a lot of courage, I think, because at one point in my life I was moving from I moved a few places, but I always wanted to come back home, you know, because they always say there's no place on earth like home. I don't care where you go, how long you stay, there's no place like home. So I, you know, ventured on back, and here I am.
See, for me, it's the opposite. My father will tell you, you've been trying to get out of Cleveland since you were like 7. So.
But, you know, I love where I lived. You know, I was basically born and raised in Washington, D.C., and I've been living in Maryland for maybe about 13, 14 years now. But I do particularly care for D.C., Washington, D.C., particularly Southeast D.C., because that's basically all I know, even though I've lived in the different areas of Washington, D.C., Northeast, Northwest, Southwest, and all this and that. But Southeast is just something about Southeast because my roots are there.
That's right.
And I do really wish that I could move back to D.C. because I'm more or less living in a country, and I'm not really a country person, but, you know, sometimes it's really quiet out here and stuff like that. But I would give my left shoe to move back to D.C., you know. So that's just my my little take on it. But even though I have thought about transplanting to maybe Atlanta or Miami or somewhere like that, and then I get to thinking, that's kind of far if I ever want to, you know, just catch a bus back home or, you know, something to drive home. You know, but maybe one day I just might up and root and go live somewhere else. But right now I'm just loving where I'm at.
Yeah, yes. I love it here too. And it's funny when you everybody has their own definition of home. And I knew that Charlotte was where I wanted to live when I left. And I had that feeling of, you know, release, when you kind of sigh and you're like, oh, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had that in California. I didn't really have it when I lived in Maryland. And mm-hmm. when I got here, I had it. And my dad had been telling me for years, you know, you're wasting money renting, you're wasting money renting. But for me, it made sense because I wouldn't have been able to move like I moved.
Right.
If I had been, you know, dealing with a home.
Right.
And when I got here, after, you know, spending a year or so in an apartment, I was like, okay, I'm ready to buy a house now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I also had money from the game show that made it possible.
Right. Well, let's talk about your screenwriting. How did you get into that? And also I read somewhere where you did a movie, a short movie that Danny Glover was cast in.
Yeah, I started writing. I've always been a writer. And the one thing I've never really written is a novel. I just mm-hmm. have, like, a little mental block about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided, you know, a script, all a script is dialogue and short blocks of action. And I thought
mm-hmm.
I could do this. So I found a class at Howard Community College, because I used to teach over there sometimes, computer classes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on screenwriting. And I, you know, I got the book and I had my idea and I was all ready to take the class, and then it got canceled.
Hmm.
But I had already had the book, I'd already had this idea, and I loved the process of writing a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. I liked the screenplay I came up with. And at the time, I was living in Beltsville.
Mm-hmm.
And working in D.C. I was dating the same guy for 3 years. It wasn't going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gotten passed over for a promotion, and I started thinking, what's really keeping me here? And at that point, I decided to go out to L.A. So I went out to L.A. and immediately met a nice older guy who sponsored me to be in this program. That's all he did, but, you know, that's why he was a nice older guy, not a pervy older guy. But
mm-hmm.
when I got into this program, it was a program for minorities. And when they say minorities, you know, a lot of times minority is code word for black.
Yeah.
But this was all minorities. This was lesbian, gays, Native Americans, Central Americans, handicapped people. It was everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the thing that they did was they paired you with a mentor. And my mentor was a producer who had ran Danny Glover's production company for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also a writer. And so when I met with her, I gave her, like, everything I had written to look over. And part of what I had given her was, like, a 5-page screen scene that I had written. It was, like, a 2-actor piece that people could use to audition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about two soldiers who were going on a notification duty. So mm-hmm. they were on their way to tell a woman that her husband had been killed in the line of duty.
Wow.
And she really liked that scene. And at the time, she was looking to do a short film.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, what if we expanded this a little bit? And so it ended up being a movie called PNOK, which stands for Primary Next of Kin. And in it, these two soldiers were on their way to make three notifications. And Danny Glover ended up playing the father of one of the soldiers that they were notified about. Irma P. Hall, the grandmother in the Soul Food movie,
mm-hmm.
she was in it as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so was the actress Elle Fanning. She's
okay.
a young actress. I think now she's going to be in the movie Maleficent that's coming out at the end of the month with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, okay. Wow. So is this movie, is it available or what
happened
with it?
That's a good question because what I found through that process is once a writer, once you turn your movie over to the director, it sort mm-hmm. of ceases to be your movie.
Right.
And the director has all the control. And she's also the one that promoted it. So mm-hmm. I believe it's available online. I think
mm-hmm.
you can YouTube it.
Okay.
But after I did that, I was like, okay, kind of did that, accomplished my mission. And that's when I left. Because I knew when I went out there, I didn't want to live out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So after that, when did you get involved with the game show and how did you, you was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, well, I left L.A. and I came out to Charlotte. And I'd been here just about a year when I was watching the show because I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Jeopardy and all that, too. But they said they were coming to Charlotte to audition. So I went to the audition. I passed the test. Everyone that passed the test had to go speak to a producer for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, if we're interested, we'll call you, but it could be anywhere from a couple weeks to, like, 2 years.
Wow.
So I wasn't really expecting to hear anything, and a couple of weeks later, they called me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the show and put to use a lifetime of useless knowledge.
Hmm.
And it paid off. So based
wow.
on that, I was able to put a down payment on my house and pay off some bills. So it worked out.
Let me ask you this. The money that you won, did they tax it or did you get all of it?
No. No. They send you it. When I walked off the stage, before you leave, they make you sign a form. So they're going to report your winnings to the IRS, but what they do is they give you a check for the full amount, and you
mm-hmm.
have to work out the...
With the IRS.
Yeah, you have to... Like, I had to meet with an accountant, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just report this money on my taxes. And he said, no, you need to pay quarterly because if I waited to pay it on my taxes, they would slam me with extra penalties. So about half of my money went to taxes.
Wow.
You know, because I don't have kids, and at the time I didn't have any property, so.
I would have been naming every kid in the neighborhood. Ray Ray.
At the time, I would have a dog named Marty. I
uh-huh.
thought about claiming him. His name is Marty. This
mm-hmm.
dog is Jake. Who would know, really? I mean, the dog has insurance. He has to go get his shots. I have to take care of him every day. So I feel like it's a child.
Wow. That is really something. Well, I'm definitely intrigued. I'm going to try and see if I can't pull up that movie, you know, because at one point I was interested in turning one of my books into a stage play. And, you know, just as you had mentioned, writing a book, you never thought about writing a novel, but you dove right into doing a screenplay. Now, I don't know how to, you know, because I had even tried to write my book into a play, but I'm just, for some reason, I can't get, I know in a play it's more dialogue than anything, and in a screenplay it's dialogue and action. I probably could better write a screenplay opposed to a play, but, you know, I you know, I know there is a difference in the writing, you know, because some people can write books and they can't write a screenplay, they can't write a script. There's some people who can write scripts and screenplays but can't write a book. Then you have people that can do them both, and that's something that I am going to eventually learn to do. Because
the thing about writing a screenplay is everything has to be told through action or dialogue. You don't
mm-hmm.
have the luxury of being able to write paragraphs about what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put it all on the page. And the other thing is that you have to be aware of time. So your script can't be longer than 120 pages. And each page ends up being about a minute. So that's why people, when they go see a movie based on a book, they're like, it wasn't like the book. It's never going to be like the book.
Right, that's true. It's always
because,
more in the book.
Right, you have to pare everything down so that you can get it into a screenplay format and have the whole story told in 120 minutes. Like if I'm adapting a book into a screenplay, you might have five friends. I don't have time to give all five friends and their backstory and everything else, so we might consolidate them into one or two people.
Right.
You know, a lot of the subplots will get tossed aside because you don't have that time to tell that story.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is really something. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copy of Back to Zero and any of my other books from my website. That's www.jjpublishing.com. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers the service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my clients while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as a seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing Service a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.jjpublishing.com. After you make your purchases, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
I hope you still feel small standing by the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never see those mountains in the distance and never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth the making. Don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter when you come close to selling out.
What you say we just head north this time?
Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Oh, oh, I hope you dance. Moving up the long, dance. Oh yeah. Oh. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Gladys Knight, I hope you dance.
Feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more. Promise me you'll give faith a fighting chance. when you have the choice to sit it out the day. I hope you did.
Alrighty then, I forgot. that was Gladys Knight, and the end, Alfred Woodard sung the end, because that was in the movie, The Family That Prays Together. Also, Dolly Parton sang that song as well. But I think it's a beautiful song. It's almost as, you know, she's saying, you know, don't sit down, you know, dance, because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, just as our special guest Karen had spoke about in the beginning of the program. I also have my co-host, Rhea, on the line. I'm going to bring her in as well. Good evening, Rhea. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. Good evening. How are you?
I am fantastic. Our special guest, Karen, is here, and we've been discussing a little bit of her life. And she was a screenwriter. She wrote a movie titled Primary Next of Kin, starring Danny Glover, and a few, you know, other important actors in it. And she moved from Cleveland to North Carolina, right?
Yeah, I'm here now.
Yeah, she's here in North Carolina. Very interesting life that she's leading. We're going to get into, she wrote 3 books. And we're going to talk about those books as well, because I'm very interested in them and, you know, learning what had actually motivated her to write them. What is the Get It Together Girl philosophy?
Okay, before I say that, can I just say, because most people don't know this, did you know Gladys Knight is a Mormon?
No,
I
didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? I didn't know she was a Mormon. How long has she been a Mormon?
For a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so Mormons, are they the ones that can have, the man can have as many wives as he wants?
They used to do that. Now some of them do, but most of them don't.
Oh, wow. I didn't know she was a Mormon, you know. Oh, well, that's very interesting. Thank you for that information. You know, it's good to learn something new every day. I appreciate that. Okay. All right, so is there anything else you want to say before we get into the
just that. I was just thinking about that when the song was on. So we were talking about my books, not Gladys Knight.
Right. Okay, let me say this before we get into your books as well. If anybody out there have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Hit the 1 that will indicate that your hand is up, and I'll bring you in so you can ask any questions or make comments with our guest this evening, Karen Beach. Okay? All right, so what is the Get It Together Girl philosophy?
The Get It Together Girl philosophy is, start where you are using what you have, and you can get to what you want. You can have the things you want. And I say that because so many of us say, well, I'll do this when. You know, I would go back to school if I had more money. I would pursue something if I had more time. But start doing what you can with what you have. And you'll be able to make progress. You can't make progress if you never start.
Right, opposed to using excuses, just, you know, if you can't do one thing, do something else.
Exactly.
Right, because that will keep you going. Or it might, once something, do something else, it may get you to what you really want to do. And a lot of people, you know, including myself, you know, I have excuses and I have reasons, but I'm learning to, you know, if I can't do this, I'm going to do that. So that gives me a push, and then I can sometimes see me doing what I really want to do once I do something else, because you never get anywhere unless you do something sometimes that you may not want to do. So that's a good...
You need to take action. And that's what's... The people make all sorts of excuses not to take action. But the only way that anything ever gets done is if you don't, not if you read about it, not if you talk about it, not if you plan for it, but if you actually do it.
Right, right. And a lot of people, you know, like I said, including myself, you know, have went down that road, well, I can't do it because of that, and, you know, you want something to be right, but you just have to step out there and do it anyway, you know. Sometimes it makes me even feel better when I do it, if it's opposed to something that I can't do, because when I do something that I can do, you know, it makes me feel more encouraged to try to get to do the things that I couldn't do.
Right. It's empowering. It's empowering.
Yeah.
And whenever you feel stuck, the quickest way to feel unstuck is to do something.
Right.
You're not happy with your job, work on your resume. Start looking for potential jobs. Start perusing Career Builder. And you'll start feeling better because you're taking your power back. A lot of times we give away our power, you know, and the results are anxiety and worry and stress because
mm-hmm.
we're so concerned about what other people need or what other people are doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, what topics do the Get It Together Girl workshop workbooks cover?
The first one is organization. I'm a naturally organized person. I'm
mm-hmm.
also really weirdly prompt. I'm always on time. Even when I start out late, I end up getting there on time. It's the weirdest thing in the world, but...
That's the same way I am.
It's like, we're not going to get there on time. Then we we have to be there by 10. What time we pull in at like 9:59? I don't know how that happens. But a lot of my friends and people I know that know me to be organized, you know, I thought about writing a book, and I decided to write a very short workbook because my ideas behind my workbooks is, again, you don't get anything done by reading. So whenever you get a Get It Together Girl workbook, the operative word is work.
Right.
And so with the home organization, the reason I called it a practical, not perfect guide to home organization is because you have to decide what organization looks like to you. What does it mean to be organized, and what level of organization can you maintain? Because it doesn't matter if you get everything perfectly organized if in 2 weeks it's going to be back to looking like a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
So do what works for you. And the example I always use is a closet. Some people, organization is just having stuff on hangers. For other people, it might be having the pants together or having shirts together. But then there are people that need the pants and shirts together and the shirts going from short sleeve to long sleeve, you know, in the exact colors of the rainbow. Remember school, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow. And if you are a person that just wants things on hangers, then don't strive to be a person that's color-coded. It's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to have a workable level of organization. And then I ask people to do what I call a focused 15, and that means give me 15 minutes Monday through Friday. And a focus 15 minutes means that it's 15 minutes where you're dedicated to one task. You're not multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing one thing for 15 minutes, and you'll be surprised at how much you can get done.
So doing one thing, that's just basically anything, say like if it's mopping the floor or cleaning the bathroom or just anything.
You can
specific?
Apply it. I use it all the time. But in the book, I give you assignments, like the first day is the refrigerator one run-through. So basically for 15 minutes, you're not cleaning the refrigerator, but you're throwing out everything that's expired, fuzzy, hairy, scary in your refrigerator. Now, because you know on the side of your refrigerator, you got some things that every time you get ready to make something, you look at that that can of jalapeno peppers and you're like, yeah, I'm not using that. Why is it in the refrigerator? Why is it taking up space? You need to, and that's 15 minutes going through and throwing out all of that stuff. Today is Wednesday, so tomorrow is my garbage day. So at the end of each week, I give people keep it together tasks. So how are you going to keep this organization once you have it? And so what I do every Wednesday night before I take out my garbage is I go through my refrigerator. Are there any vegetables that are, you know, getting kind of soft? Is there, you know, is there any food that's been there since last week? You know, and I'm not willing to eat it because I'll be honest, I'm single, I'm by myself, I went to college. I'll eat some stuff that might be sketchy if it's just me. I'm not going to serve it to people, but I do that smell test. I'm kind of hungry. I don't feel, doesn't smell like it'll kill me.
Yeah.
And then I eat it, and I'm normally fine. But there are some things that I'll just throw away. And I do it on Wednesday night because my garbage is going out the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sitting in there in the garbage can getting smelly, and especially as summer's coming. But that's something that helps me keep it together. It helps me to keep my refrigerator organized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing that takes a bunch of time, because the other part of the Get It Together Girl philosophy is I'm never going to give you tips or tricks to do that are going to be expensive or time-consuming, because the two things that most people don't have is a lot of time or a lot of money.
That's true. That is very true. So, well, let me ask you this. Those small things that you focus on, can they really make a big difference?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and really, small things are the only things that make a big difference. Small things done consistently make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
As anybody that's lost weight, as anybody who's gotten into shape, as anybody who's graduated from college or high school. You didn't just study once and say, I'm out, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You have to study on a regular basis. You
right.
have to change your eating habits on a regular basis. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be exceptions or, you know, there's an office party or there's a big dinner. But more often than not, you're being consistent in applying these actions and these steps. And those are the things that make changes. If all you had to do was on January 1st work out like a demon for 1 hour and you would be good for the whole year, we'd all be in good shape. But
yes,
it doesn't work like that. You have to keep going to the gym. You have to keep putting down the Krispy Kreme donuts.
That is true. That is so true, because everybody wants everything like yesterday, including me, because me and a girlfriend used to joke all the time. I said, if I could stick a needle in me and pull all this fat out of me, that's what I would do.
Well, I mean, look at the diet pill industry.
Yeah.
Look at the success of fad diets. And I was thinking about this today because I've gained a lot of weight over the years. And it's to the point now where I need to lose weight not for vanity, but for health reasons.
Right.
You know, my mom died of complications to diabetes. My dad is diabetic. I've got diabetes running like rampant through both sides of my family. And so it's not good for me to keep on this weight. And I had to stop myself today. And I'm like, what did I eat today? You know, I didn't have a real meal till 5 o'clock. What did I eat? I ate potato chips, cherry Coke, you know, pretzels. And people are like, well, you're the get-it-together girl. And I'm like, that doesn't mean I'm perfect. You know, this is something that I struggle with. So I know that people struggle with it. I know how hard it can be to change a habit, but I know what I need to do. I know, you know, tomorrow I've already packed my lunch. I know what I'm going to do. And one of the things I've done is I've taken my debit card out of my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way I can't go to the vending machine. I can't go downstairs to the cafeteria and buy tater tots for breakfast.
Right. Yeah, and you know, some people are conscious of that when some people aren't, because some days I get up and I haven't ate all day, and I say to myself, what did I eat? What did I eat? And realizing that I hadn't ate anything, you know, throughout the day, so I get up and fix me something. And generally, I would leave something on my plate, but by me not eating all day, I'm eating everything off that plate. You know, and mm-hmm. then after that, I'm having a snack, and I'm a Pepsi-holic. I'm not going to lie about that. I am a Pepsi-holic, so I drink maybe about a couple of Pepsis a day or every other day, you know. So I know that's a lot of sugar going in me, but it's just the fact that I'm so addicted to these Pepsis. You know, I've given them up for a minute, and I'm not drinking as many as I used to. And I know the day is going to come that I'm going to have to give them up all together forever, you know. But in the meantime, I'm still, you know, I still had that habit of, you know, having those Pepsis. And it's not a good habit. I will admit that, because it's just too much sugar in there. And I went to the doctor's the other day, and he diagnosed me borderline diabetic. And he asked me, did I want him to give me any medicine? I told him no, because I know that once I start taking that medicine, it's going to cause other complications. So what I told him, I know that my weight is a contributory factor to that, so I'm going to, you know, work on my weight, because I don't like ingesting any type of chemicals in my body, you know, pharmaceutical pills and things like that, because I don't like the side effects. But I, you know, I keep telling myself, I'm going to do this, and I know that my mind is saying one thing and my conscience is saying something else, and my brain is not hooking it all up. So
Right. And that's the problem I had. I was off of work for a couple months. And while I was off work, I was starting to get it together and develop better habits. But when I got back into that old situation, I got back into my old habits.
Right.
Because when I was on my own, I didn't have cherry Coke in the house. I didn't have potato chips. But when they're right around the corner at work, and you're going into meetings, and people are taking their snacks with them and everything else, it's a little bit harder.
Right. Yeah, well, I just know that I'm going to definitely. And then another problem I'm having is my car is broke down, which basically is no excuse, but it's an excuse that I'm using, because once I had made up in my mind I was going to start going back to the gym, but my car broke down. So, you know, but it's not like I can't get out and walk the neighborhood. But, you know, it's just some things that right now my brain isn't hooking up with my mind and my subconscious. I need to get them all on the same agreement. We're going to do this and just do it, you know. And I believe that's one of the reasons why I'm procrastinating and not carrying out these things that I really want to do it, because I don't want to be a diabetic. I don't want to have high blood pressure. I don't have – well, to be honest, I have none of the illnesses that are associated with me being – overweight at this particular time, and I don't want to develop them, so I know what I have to do. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just need to have all those things functioning at the same time, like pushing me out there, say, get out there, girl, you know, get it together, girl, you know.
And for me, it's just being conscious of it, because I got through this whole day and I didn't even really realize what I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so such a habit. And to change a habit, what you have to do is be cognizant, be aware of your situation. And a lot of people, like, I go to Weight Watchers, well, I don't have time to count points. I don't want to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to change what you're doing if you want a different result. If eating McDonald's and, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts was working for me, I wouldn't have to lose weight. So clearly I'm going to have to do something different. And at first you are going to have to spend a lot of time thinking about it because you have to change your brain. You have to train your brain. And right now I have to train my brain, and that involves thinking about stuff maybe more than you would want to. But
mm-hmm.
once it starts becoming a habit, you're not going to be thinking about it as much.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to talk about time now. So, why do you think that a lot of people, you know, some people say they have more time than they think, and a lot of people would disagree with that. You know, explain how using small pockets of time can change, make a difference.
I started this book because I met a woman who had dismissed my first book because she said she had kids and she didn't even have 15 minutes a day.
Mm.
If you're watching TV, if you're surfing on the internet, if you're playing Angry Birds and Candy Crush Saga on your phone, you've got time.
That's true.
If you're sitting waiting for an appointment, if you're at your child's practice and you're not participating in the practice, you're just sitting there, you've got time. It's what you do with those small pockets of time that makes a difference. And if you find that maybe you don't need to play Candy Crush as much, maybe you can use half that time to read a book. Or maybe you can use half that time to get your kitchen organized or whatever. But be aware of those little pockets of time and ask yourself what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in line at Walmart because you know you can never get out of Walmart as quickly as you got in. So while I'm in Walmart, I have some applications on my phone, some apps that help me manage my time. So while I'm in line, I can look up, you know, the Chinese food restaurant and place my order while I'm in line.
Mm-hmm.
I can check the movie schedule and see what time the movie I want to see starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have my Bluetooth in, I can play my voicemail messages and start clearing some of those out. And all while I'm waiting in line at Walmart.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay, are there any more Get It Together Girl workbooks on the horizon?
The one you mentioned in your intro was supposed to come out in December. It kind of didn't. So it's About the Money, Honey.
All right.
Should be coming out in during the summer.
Okay, can you give us a little bit on that book, what it's going to be in it? And
sure. With
okay.
Get It Together Girl, it's about the money, honey. Following the tips in my book, you can be saving about $200 a month.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, $200 a month is pretty much like giving yourself a raise.
Yeah.
And a couple of the things I suggest, as I'm a big fan of gift cards. And what I mean by that is you buy them for yourself. Don't wait till somebody else gets them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not buying it from someone else, but you're getting that gift card and you're using it. If you're budgeting, $100 a month for clothes. Then get a $100 gift card for one of your favorite stores.
Excuse me, I'm hearing some background noise. Spent.
Who? Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Okay. Okay. Go on, dear.
But when you have that gift card, it helps you control your spending. A while ago, I had a job, and I've been unemployed for a while, and I got employed. So I was behind financially, and what I found is that every pay period, right before the Friday I got paid, that Thursday I would run out of gas.
Mm.
It happened so much that I got a letter from AAA telling me not to call them for some gas anymore.
Wow. Wow.
And I really did. I'm like, really?
Wow.
But what I ended up doing when I got paid and I filled up my gas tank, while the gas was pumping, I went into the gas station and I purchased a $25 gift card.
Hmm.
Because if I didn't have that gift card, what happens? I put $25 in cash aside. Oh, I'll use that money for gas. What do you think happens before you need gas?
Yeah, you might get groceries or anything.
Right, and by the time
run out of money.
Yeah, but
yeah.
By the time you need that gas, that money's already spent. But if I have it on a gas card, it kind of makes sure that I have that money.
Wow, that's very feasible to do that. You know, because people will, you know, they say, well, I'm going to put this money for this and something else will come up because it's happened to me. You know, I said, well, I'm going to get this with this money. Next thing I know, something else has come up and I spent that money. Then I got to scramble and try to get the money for what I spent it for. And it's just crazy, you know. So those are some really good ideas to get gift cards. And what would you say if, well, that would be spent. So a gift card is the best thing, I think, because I was going to suggest maybe a money order, but you could spend that.
But I tell you what else I did. And this is all I want to tell you because I want you to buy the book. I can't give everything away. But,
right, okay.
But I, because you're like, how are you getting it together and you just messed up with money? But money is my Achilles heel. And I would run into situations where I would overdraw my account because I had automatic payments. You know how we have automatic payments that come out of your account, and I'm trying to budget my money, but I forget that this thing comes out on the 20th and this other thing comes out on the 5th, and it might throw me into being overdrawn. And that cost me $35.
Yep.
So what I did one day while I was at Walmart is I purchased a Walmart money card. And what I did once I had that card, because you can load it up with money.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I did two things. I updated my direct deposit for my job so that every pay, $50 was going on that card.
Hmm.
And then I moved every single automatic payment from my bank account to that card.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the money's not there, it's not going to get paid. But it's not going to charge me $35 instead.
Okay.
And a friend of mine, because it costs $3 to load the card. So if I want to put $20 on the card, I need to pay $23.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine was like, well, they're robbing you. They're charging you fees. I'm like, yeah, they're charging me $3 to load the card. But how many overdrafts does one, and one overdraft costs $35. So
yes,
I can pretty much load that card up 11 times for the cost of one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also interesting because, you know, to withdraw money and take money out of your account sometimes is $3, but you're actually putting money in. So that's really good.
Exactly, because you're going to always pay a fee anyway.
Right, exactly. But I'd rather pay a $3 fee to put money in an account and know that I'm going to have money than to be paying $3 and be minus what I'm taking out plus that $3.
That's true. And then, two, if you do the direct deposit, it doesn't cost you anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's little things like that are in my book.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about setting goals. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher, Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
Okay, that was Barbara Mason, Yes, I'm Ready. That's a beautiful song from back in the day. Okay, we're here with our special guest this evening, Karen Beach, who is an author, screenplay writer, and a game show contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Okay, so we're going to get right back into it because we're going to be closing the show out shortly. Now, when it comes to goals, you talk about comprehensive goal setting. What does that mean?
Comprehensive goal setting means more than having a goal and a task list. You have to have more than that if you want to really achieve a goal.
Okay. Okay. So, you say with goals, people should stop shooting on themselves. What is shooting?
Well, one of the things that you need to do is you really need to look at why you want to achieve a goal. Do you want to achieve it because you want it, or do you want to achieve it because society says you should, because your husband says you should, because your parents are nagging you about it? If any of those reasons are the reasons you want to do something and it doesn't come internally from something you really want, then it's a should goal. I should lose weight. Okay, but you're not really in a space where you feel like changing your diet or your exercise habits. So it's more of a should goal. Should goals are goals that you don't really have the motivation or the drive to accomplish because they're not your goals. They're goals somebody else wants for you.
Well, I'm not doing no shoulding because if I can't do it for myself, I don't think... You know, anything that I do, I'm going to do it for myself. You know, because I think the first law of nature is self-preservation. If someone tells me, well, you need to lose weight, don't think when I lose weight, I've lost it for you. I'm losing weight for my own health and my own benefit. It's nothing vanity that I'm going to be doing it for because I already know what I look like when I lose weight. And I look good. And I look good, you know, even though I am overweight. But the point of the matter is excess weight that I should not have on me. So, yeah, I'm going to lose it for my own benefit and my
own. Yeah, I mean, like earlier when I was talking about buying a house when I moved to Charlotte, and my dad, you need to buy a house, you need to buy a house. Had I had that as a goal at any time before I moved to Charlotte, it would have been a should goal because I would have been buying a house not because I wanted a house, but because I felt like I should because I'm throwing away money.
Right.
So that would be another example of it.
Right. We've got to be careful about things like that as well. Okay, so we're going to get, you know, talk about your Blog Talk Radio show. Why did you start Get It Together Girl Radio?
I started in broadcasting, and I sort of missed it. And I thought, you know, Blog Talk Radio would be a good venue, and it kind of merged something that I wanted to do with the next step for Get It Together Girl. I had a blog. I have the workbooks, but I wanted something more intimate and more interactive. So with the show, I can feature different guests that can help women deal with the different components of their lives. Monday, we're talking about infidelity, and I have the guest. She's the author of Confessions of a Cheating Bitch.
Wow, I've heard of that book.
So she's going to be on the show. And then I have the second guest is going to be talking about saving your relationship so you don't get to the point where you're dealing with the cheating bitch or becoming one yourself.
Right.
But then I've talked about financial issues, career issues, just any area where people need to have some direction and mm-hmm. some information.
Okay.
All right.
Beyond workbooks and radio, you also offer coaching. Why do people need a coach?
People need a coach for different reasons than needing a therapist. Or
absolutely. I agree with you there.
You know, if you need help, you need help. Get help. But if you need help clarifying and reaching your goals, if you need accountability, if you need someone who can be objective about your life, because, you know, sometimes you have good friends that can be your cheerleaders, but they also know you pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes them knowing you pretty well can be detrimental. But what a coach does is it helps you clarify your goals, and then the coach helps you craft a plan to achieve your goals. And they're there to give feedback, to brainstorm with, and to make you accountable. You know,
absolutely.
I ended up going to Weight Watchers a few weeks ago because, not because I didn't know how to lose weight, but because there's something about going into that place and standing on that scale and seeing that leader every week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what type of coach are you? Just the kind who helps people get it together?
Yep. You just said it.
Okay.
So.
Well, all right. There's a lot of people that need that kind of coaching because at some points in my life I think I do as well. So, yeah.
I mean, we all do, and that, I mean, but maybe about different things. Like I might need it for weight loss. I've helped people. I've had clients who were trying to write a business plan. You know, and as a coach, I don't necessarily need to know how to do it. I'm not a consultant. A consultant is someone you hire to do work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm there to say, okay, you're overwhelmed. You're working full time. What hours are you going to find in your week right now to be able to do this work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much are you going to have done before the next time we talk? How are you going to have this conversation with your husband about needing this extra time or about having him put the kids to bed so that you can do this work?
Hmm. Is there a lot of pressure as a creative get-it-together girl to have everything together?
Oh, yeah. You know, because I do this, I shouldn't have any problems. But at the end of the day, like you, I'm human. So, you know, there are things I have to deal with. Like right now, weight is something I'm dealing with. But I feel like my goal isn't to be perfect, but to be on that path. I'm not doing anything that I would tell my people to do. I'm going to do everything that I'm going to tell you to do. And just because I struggle in some areas doesn't mean that I'm not authentic or that I'm a fraud. It means that I'm real. And
mm-hmm.
it helps me to understand what people are going through. I'm not trying to be holier than thou.
Okay, what tips can people use to start making productive changes in their lives right now?
Right now, you can think about, define your goal. What are you trying to do? That's step one. Step two, decide to take an action each day that will get you closer to that goal. If your goal, we've been talking about it, lose weight, what are you going to do? How much weight do you want to lose, and when do you want to lose it by? What are you going to do right now to start that process? Are you going to go in the kitchen and make a list of all the foods you need or even throw out foods you have? What are you going to do? So clarifying your vision and then taking action to move toward that vision.
Okay. All right, Don, do you, any of my co-hosts have any questions for Karen?
I don't.
Let me just,
listening to that, some of her tips. And I know with me, I don't do the gift card. I just keep my debit card and no cash because I hate paying the extra money to go, you know. First of all, I got to find my bank, and most time it's nowhere near around. So that saves me a lot of money by not having it. So I call cash evaporating paper. As soon as you put it in your pocket, before you know it, it's gone. So
that's true.
I only go to the bank when I need to go. You know, I'm going to really have to go. I mostly pay for my fuel with my card, too. But I try to run it down till low as possible. And I have a set amount out for that. So that was a good tip. She said, I was thinking about trying a card. I know I do that on Amazon. I don't use my card for that anymore. So that does help.
And it's funny you said about vanishing cash. Another tip I say is if you're making purchases less than $20, try using cash.
Right.
Because you do see that money dwindle, and you do wonder where it's going. And it, exactly. After a while, it makes you think about it more.
Yeah. Because you look stupid using $3 with a debit card or a credit card. So you're like, no, I'm going to just wait.
Exactly.
Yeah. That is true. Jay, did you have a question?
No, I was just going to ask, she talked about goals, and I was going to ask her, what is her suggestion when people have goals? That is their goal, not something someone is trying to feed into their head, and they feel stuck.
Okay, one of the things that I suggest is that you really think about a few people who are on your team for your specific goal. And these are people that are going to have the information, provide you with the emotional support and the motivation you need to achieve this goal. And if you have a couple people like that and you feel stuck, discuss it with them and then decide on a few small actions you can take. Because a lot of times you get stuck because you're overwhelmed.
Okay.
Hmm.
Does that help?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and where they can order your books and, you know, if you're doing any speak engagements or book signings, you know, put that out there right now for everybody.
Everything, my books and everything can be found at my site, getittogethergirlmedia.com. Can't stop coughing now. My Blog Talk radio show airs Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, and that is blogtalkradio.com/getittogethergirlradio.
And that's Monday at 8 p.m.
Monday at 8 p.m. And I do speaking, and if you go to getittogethergirlmedia.com, there's a page for speaking. My fees are really reasonable, and many times I'll offer to speak for free if I can sell my workbooks.
Oh, okay.
And I have, three keynote presentations, the basic Get It Together Girl. Then I have a Get It Together Girl version specifically for Christian women.
Okay.
And it's called Faith is the Action Word.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that book real quick.
Well, that's not a book. That's just a presentation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I take the Get It Together Girl philosophy and use biblical examples, examples from, you know, other Christian women to make the point that you can have faith, you can have belief, But just like love, faith has to be put into action. I mean, somebody tells you they love you, that's great. But you know they love you by their actions.
That is true. Actions
speak louder. I'll tell you a Gladys Knight story. These little girls in college were not harassing me, but they'd never been around black people before. And they couldn't figure out why I wasn't poor because they thought all black people were poor.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I was like, do you really want to know how I have money? And they're like, yeah, yeah. I said, do you know that song, Midnight Train to Georgia? Yeah. That's my mom, Gladys Knight. and they left me alone. Now, can I produce Gladys Knight? Is she coming to Mom's Weekend? No.
Mm-hmm.
You can say anything.
Wow, that was really something. You know, I guess that really shut them up, you know.
It really did.
Because
I needed a car, and I went home for Christmas, and we ended up getting a little car, and it was the 80s, so I got a bomber jacket. How can you afford that? Really?
Wow.
Music royalties do really well, so.
Yes, they do. Well, it was a pleasure.
Haven't listened to you speak of your books, program, et cetera. It's very logical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, you said, I can do that. I can do that. It's very logical, and it's extremely logical, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, and like one review that I got that didn't like the book was like, well, this is all basic stuff. It is, but most people need to hear basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's
It starts
most
with
people don't know the simplest things or the easiest things. It really, truly can't. They think that it's complex, and they don't realize sometimes it's the things that can really get you there. And sometimes people need to hear it from somebody else. They may know that information, but they need to hear it or see it from someone else who's affected.
And then sometimes your goal it seems so far away. It seems
absolutely
so big, let's say, that you don't even think of the small steps that you take to get there because, I think it was Gail who said it earlier, everybody wants things now. But you don't even think about those small steps that it takes to get there
because
you're thinking of that quote-unquote bigger picture.
Yeah, and when you think about the bigger picture, too, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
Extremely.
And you start thinking, oh, my gosh, I step on the scale. That's why it's funny. If you go to Weight Watchers, even if you have 200 pounds to lose, your first goal is 5% of your body weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they do that is because if you have a big weight loss, you're going to get overwhelmed. And, you know, a lot of people get frustrated and quit. I can't do it. It's too much. How am I going to do this? But if you see that little 5% goal, you're like, okay, that's doable. Let me focus on that. And then I'll get another 5% goal.
Mm-hmm.
And breaking it down into manageable steps is the key.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we really enjoyed you this evening, Jackie, and anytime you're more than welcome to come back, we're going to give you a great big round of applause.
Yeah! What a season!
Wow! Wow, thank you so much. I feel honored.
Yeah, that's how we do it over here on Delicious Talk Radio. We really treat our guests well.
You certainly do, and I've had a great time.
I am so glad that you did come on, and you gave a wealth of information, so the listeners out there, I'm quite sure they're walking away with some information, and, you know, I'm quite sure they'll be visiting your website and, you know, listening to your radio show this Monday. I'm definitely going to be listening because I'm very interested in the topic, the young lady's book.
Confessions of a Cheating Bitch.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Monday on Get It Together Rural Radio.
Yes, at 8 p.m.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Right, you guys out there listening, check it out Monday, 8 p.m. over there on Get It Together Girl Radio. Okay. Oh, and, you know, we do this every Wednesday. Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience. Our subject matter is sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, issues relevant to everyday life, and we appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. If you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me, that's gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or to riaalexis at yahoo.com, that's riaalexis@yahoo.com. or jadinoblasco@gmail.com. That's j.dinoblasco, D-I-N-O-B-L-A-S-C-K-O, @gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And if the topic is juicy, we're here for the full 2 hours of adult conversation. And remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Rhea, Jay, Jadino, and our very special guest, Karen Beach, for tuning in this evening. And you guys could have been anywhere else listening to any other thing or doing any other thing that you usually do on a Wednesday evening, but you was right here with us, chopping it up with our special guest. With that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend. Love you guys. And Rhea, let everybody know how they get it, what you do.
Well, I am a lover of books, and I am a reviewer. The best place to reach me is usually on Facebook, and it's Rhea Alexis M. Banks on Facebook. I'm also on Shafari. I'm on Goodreads. And as Gail already has done, gave out my email address. And if you write it and it ain't horror, I'll read it.
She does not read any horror books, so don't send her no horror books. Anything else,
no,
don't read it.
Somebody told me this is a chicken. I said, cluck, cluck. Nope.
Okay. All right, Jadino, you want to let everybody know what you do?
Oh, I'm Everything Art. You can reach me on Facebook. I got some projects coming up. In fact, Friday, showing a movie out there, short film by Miss Peter called The Last Beaten. It's going to be shown on a big screen, so I'm going to see how big my head really is. And I don't know if I'm going to see it like that again. I'm also doing all kind of art shows and stuff coming up. You're going to see me on some special effect work for some high-end film now. I've been contacted to do work for that. So pretty much that's it. All of my shoes, never leave out the shoes as long as about the shoes.
Oh, right. I know that's right.
Right, Jadino is a very talented artist. You check him out on Facebook, and, you know, his work is phenomenal. Okay, Jade, let everybody know what you do, darling.
We do Erotic Talk Radio, where Miss Delicious is my co-host every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, also on Blog Talk Radio. And then on Saturdays, we do Slow Jams on the G-Spot Love Zone, also on Blog Talk Radio. So check us out, and we're also in a group, Erotic Talk Radio, on Facebook.
And what about the other radio, WTLC?
WTLC Talk Radio, yes, that is my network. So if you have a different radio shows, different hosts, so you got to check that out, WTLC Talk Radio. We also have a group there, and it's WTLC Talk Radio. That's on Facebook. And that way you can get the links to all the different fabulous shows. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, and as you all know, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/GailDeliciousJohnson. I also have a fan page. My fan page is facebook.com/ JJ Publishing. I have a website, jjpublishing.com. I'm an author, poet. I can't really say a screenwriter. That would be a lie. Author, poet, speaker, ghostwriter. I do quite a few things, but... you know, right now I'm focusing more on my writing and doing, you know, some other things to promote myself. So, and if you want to know anything else about me, you can just Google Gail Delicious Johnson. And with that being said, I wish everybody a beautiful weekend. Whatever you do, you know, do it good. Don't drink and don't drive, because, you know, I love talking to you guys, not about you. And I will see you guys here next Wednesday. And don't forget to stop over there Monday on Karen's show, Get It Together Girl, and Thursday where I co-host with the beautiful, vivacious Jade. And I'll see you guys then. Have a beautiful weekend. Good night, everybody. Love you guys. Thank you.
Good night. Love you, babe.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.